Okay, thank you so much. The recording has started. Welcome to today's Fellowship Live call on the next stop on the DA Intercoastal Train, taking service work to the next level. This call will focus on how public outreach conducts our personal program along the track of DA recovery. I hope we can all appreciate the train metaphor that we're working with here. This call is presented by the Public Information Committee, and my name is Maya. I am a debtor from Alameda, California. So our call today will include four speakers who will be recorded for a podcast, which will be able to be found on the debtorsanonymous.org website under the Fellowship Services and then Fellowship Podcasts. Within a few days. After the speakers, we'll stop the recording on the call for a question and answer period, and anyone asking a question will not be recorded. All the callers have been placed on mute, so again, like I said earlier, just press star 6 to unmute only if you're participating in the call or during the question and answer period. Our fellow DA members will share their experience, their strength, and hope in being the face of DA and how it has elevated their recovery to the next level. All speakers today have 15 minutes, if they wish, with a 3-minute warning from me, Maya. Lynn, welcome to the call, and you may begin.
Hi, I'm Lynn. I'm a recovering debtor under earner business owner. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for asking me to speak. I, too, will keep my share on, you know, the subject at hand. I have to admit, I started to, like, do a little research the other day. And started to feel like, oh, dang it, I hope I have something to say, because I did GSR work for just about 3 years. I stopped just a little early, and I was on the PI committee, or I'm sorry, I was on the FCC committee, Fellowship Communications, and then I also was on the RDC for my last year. So our focus was pretty much inside the fellowship, but I also was public information for one of my first home groups, and I didn't do much, you know, so I was like, oh, Jesus, what am I going to say? But I always have something to say, and higher power will speak through me. So, you know, I was listening to the previous speaker, and I was just having a lot of thoughts and just trying to pay attention, and, you know, if I look back at my journey in DA, I've been in DA now about, I've been in DA about five years, and I had a bit of a slip up that I count as a relapse, and my last time, about 4 years, and honestly, I was such a mess for the first couple years. I don't know if I was a very good example of DA, and I know that change was happening. It was happening inside, in retrospect, but it didn't show in my bank account. It didn't show in how I was earning. Maybe it showed a little bit how I was earning money, but not a lot. And I often wondered if DA was working, and I also didn't go all super duper all in, and I, you know, I've heard people say that half measures avail you a lot in DA, so I was hoping that would be true for me. It was more true that half measures availed me just a little bit. Half measures probably availed me about half, and so it's probably good that I wasn't that visible, you know, in the beginning. I had to just focus on following the tools and doing the step work and showing up to meetings. And then, as time went on, you know, things I think that as in the more middle part of my recovery, my PI work, you know, would happen more casually. Like I worked a lot in restaurants, and you know, I would always keep track of my tips, you know, and people would see me pull my phone out. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I keep track of everything I earn and everything I spend. And then, you know, if anybody asked more questions, I would let them know. And a lot of people knew that I was in the beverage program. And I would say, I would tell people I do another fellowship that's about money and debt. And I would be vocal with people in AA. When I told my story, because I really believe 100% that if I did not tackle and start to bring God into my financial life, that I would either have drank or killed myself. And so it is a pretty significant part of my journey in sobriety, because if I didn't seek out this quote-unquote outside help for that fellowship, I don't think I would have continued on to progress as much as I had. And, you know, and I actually have attracted some people to the fellowship. Some stayed and some haven't. And just by being a visible member and letting people know that I do this. So one of the things I noticed as a GSR that bothered me attending the World Service Conferences was how our membership as a fellowship didn't seem to be growing. And I really see the importance of, you know, H&I and also hospitals and institutions. And there's also a committee, what is it called now? You underserved, underrepresented committee, I think that's what it was called, it's called now. And I actually have just gotten, you know, because I stopped being GSR about a couple months ago, and I became the public information rep in my home group. And honestly, I hadn't done much, you know, the pandemic, and I didn't, like, I just didn't really want to deal with anything. So I hadn't really done much. And thank you for asking me to speak, Maya, because, like most things, I kind of be kicked in the butt a little bit sometimes to take action and, or be in enough pain and, you know, and so when I was getting ready for this call, I was reading through stuff on the website, and I had downloaded that in public information, the shorter, public information toolkit, or what is it called? It's the shorter publication. And so I downloaded that, and I downloaded some of the other materials that you were like, you know, hang on billboard, hang on, you know, it says go to, you know, it gives you lots of really great ideas of how to do PI work. And it's very cool sort of a commitment, because so long as you stay within the tradition that it's attraction and not promotion, and you stay anonymous, the levels of press, radio, and pump, there's so many different ways to do it. And I think it can get overwhelming, and so it's really nice to think that the literature is available. And so, like, as I was reading this literature, I was thinking, like, well, what are we using now? Like, what would be the equivalent electronically of, like, say, hanging something on a billboard or on a, you know, message board or whatever? And so I decided to, like, search Facebook groups for debt in Facebook groups. And then I found a search for, like, student loans and Facebook groups. And I did a search for bail bonds and payday loans. And I found some Facebook groups. And so I'm going to explore putting literature and flyers, you know, that are created by the PI committee on those message boards. And I know it said in one of the things I read, you know, definitely check and make sure you're allowed to post where you're posting. So I really feel like that is an equivalent, and that potentially, you know, a couple of, if I dedicate, like it suggests dedicating an hour a month, if I can dedicate an hour a month to putting information on these sort of community groups, that could potentially be a really good way to just let people know that we're here. And I think that, I mean, I don't know why our growth has stalled, or if it is now, maybe it's growing now, I don't know. But I know for myself, yeah, I mean, I could definitely be doing more. And I kind of get selfish sometimes. Like, I just want to do my work and get the money. Like, I want to do the work and get the job, and I want to do the work and get the things. And I think sometimes I skip a couple steps, you know, which is like, okay, well, I'm going to do the work, but then I have sponsees, you know, and I go to meetings, and like I was a GSR for 3 years, but it's still really easy for me to get complacent, you know, and then complain that the program's not working for me. And it's like, well, what am I doing? What am I really doing? And am I talking to my sponsees? Am I talking to my sponsor? Am I doing my step work? Am I involved in meetings? And am I doing my commitment? And, you know, I haven't really done much from my public information commitment. And, you know, I really love the topic of this call because it's, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's how is helping to carry the message of DA, how is that enhancing or using that to enhance my recovery or something like that. And so it's just put a little fire under my butt, which I totally appreciate. And is somebody timing me?
Yes, I am, and you have 4 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I don't know if I have 4 minutes of more things to say. I will say this. I did want to share this. So I just did my taxes, and I was so surprised to see that I made over $40,000 last year, and I definitely see myself making far more than that. But when I came into DA, I was not making that. And I mean, my goal is to make a minimum of $200,000 this next year, and it's like seeing that I made $40,000. I'm like, well, holy smokes, I could totally make more, because that's a lot more than I made when I came into DA. And it's just like another sign to me that the program is working, because for me, like, I would see people come in the program. There's anybody new on the call. I would see people come in the program, like, after me and do a little bit of step work and get a great job and, like, win, you know, get, like, a $50,000 inheritance or win, and then just, like, And I was like, where's mine? You know, like, I'm doing all the GSR and I do this stuff, and like, where's my stuff? And, you know, like, for me, so much of the work that I have done is about inward, rearranging things inside. And it's only recently that things have started to change on the outside, and that I started to feel like a sense of stability, and that I actually am okay. I can pay my bills. and I can pay them on time, and I don't have to struggle. And so for me, it's taken a lot of work and a lot of patience and a lot of time and a lot of willingness to do things I don't want to do. Like, I don't really ever want to, like, go online and look at what I have to do PI work, what I can do to do PI work. But, you know, the desire to recover and the desire to be able to show up, like, to a call like this and have something worthwhile to say, you know, gives me the impetus to take action. And it's often by taking action and doing things I don't feel like doing that I get, you know. And basically, it's so nice to see some results, you know. Like, I made a decent income last year, and I made some of it teaching, and I made some of it, you know, waiting tables, and I made some of it with my vision, and this year is going to be even better. And so, I mean, I think that's all I have to say. I'm really interested to hear what other people have to say on PI. I'm listening, you know, so I can learn some things as well. And Maya, you're awesome. Thank you so much for asking me to speak. And I hope everybody has a great day.
Thanks, Lynn. Right back at you. You're awesome. Thanks for your share, your honesty, and your take on being of service and showing up to the fellowship. That's great. Thank you. So our third speaker today is Amina from San Francisco. She'll be speaking on her experience, strength, and hope, and elevating her service to the next level and what that's looked like for her so far. Amina, welcome to the call. You may begin. Do you have any particular timing requests when you want to be alerted? Oh, and Amina, you may just have to hit star 6.
Oh, hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
How long do I have again?
Yeah, 15 minutes. I can give you a 3-minute warning. Or...
You know what? Thank you. I'll just time myself, and then you can give me a 1-minute warning. Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call. How many people do we have on the call again?
You know, I actually can't see that.
Okay, no problem. Whoever's here is meant to be here. That's all. cool. Yeah, so everyone, my name is Amina. I'm a debtor, grateful, recovering member of the program. Thank you, Maya, for asking me to speak. I think the purpose of me speaking is to talk about how service in DA relates to being the face of DA, and how recovery and doing service specifically elevates our life, our program. And let me see. So I will kind of divvy this up. I'll spend 5 minutes talking about my past, and I'll talk about how service has helped me and elevated that. And hopefully you'll be able to see the connection. So I am the youngest of 4 girls. And I grew up in Pakistan, but my heritage is Afghani, and I grew up in a violent home. My father was violent with my mother. He was violent with my sisters. I also grew up in an emotionally neglected home where, you know, nobody ever talked to me about my feelings. It didn't matter. And more than that, we were just supposed to figure things out. Well, I was a really smart kid in a lot of ways, and then I had a learning disability with math. It's now called dyscalculia, which I've learned is something that makes it so it's hard to be organized, and I'm a very emotional person, and I just really struggled with my feelings. I struggled with boundaries, and, you know, a lot of times I'd be walking with my father or doing something, and his entire message to me was, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything. Who taught you that? right? Like, somebody must have taught you that because you're not smart enough to know this. And so I thought, well, in order for me to be loved, I just have to be a stupid girl, you know, dumb little girl. And I carried that crutch with me for a really long time. And I didn't, and I tried to do whatever I needed to do in college and in school to kind of work the system, to not have to do my homework, to cut class, because I thought, I'm dumb anyway. What the fuck? What does it matter? And I didn't really think I had any value. And so I remember, I don't know, like getting scholarships at school, and my sisters would say, how did you finagle that? And I'd be like, oh, you know, I did this and that. And it felt like I wasn't because I was smart or creative. It was because I conned the system somehow, and I tricked people into giving me money. So when I got jobs, I remember one time I was working at this company, and this woman was like, okay, like, can you do this and that? And I was like, well, hold on, I'm on a break, I need to eat. You know, or, and it was like just totally defiant, like not willing to do anything, not willing to do the work, lazy. And lazy was procrastination, and procrastination was low self-esteem. I don't have what it takes anyway, so why try? And I found that, you know, I got fired from a lot of jobs. Because I couldn't show up. I couldn't do the work. I didn't think I had any value. I wasn't good at things. I wouldn't be on time. Oh my God, the time thing took for a long time. And I started to do a lot of work on myself regarding my self-esteem. You know, I really did a lot of trauma work, trauma neuro-linguistic programming specifically, which helped me change my beliefs. And what happened is I started to feel like I really could do things, that my age and my self-esteem maybe what I thought about myself wasn't totally right and accurate. And, you know, I had visions of, you know, doing something like being a TV host or a broadcaster, and I don't know, I was too afraid to pursue it, and frankly, I don't even think that was my talent, but I knew that in order for me to find my way, I needed to get a job and earn, and DA helped me get on that path. And when I got into DA, it took me a long time to do service, a really long time, like 8 years, to really do, like, meaningful service. I started sponsoring. I would do service at the meeting level. One day, I was in Mission Dolores Park, which is a park in San Francisco. I was just walking up. I was talking to this man named Alan from Sacramento. And he's like, you know, Mina, why don't you think about being a GSR? And I stopped on top of this hill, and I was looking up, you know, at all these young people in San Francisco, and I just had a moment, and I thought, well, that's not me. I'm not somebody that can do that. And what I found is that a part of me was like, you know what, I think I can. So I signed up to be a GSR, and that's when I realized that service really works. So I'd gotten a new job at this tech company where I am today, and I was really struggling in the beginning. And what would happen is every single time I would do service work, my week for the like work week would get easier. There was a direct correlation with me doing service work on the weekend and then my week getting easier at work. And I was like, literally, like, it was so stark. I was like, oh shit, like service changes things, like prayer changes things. It was remarkable. And I just had this huge epiphany that, oh my God, service helps me. Like, service helps me. And then I started to realize that we had a little bit of a resource and like access problem and volume problem. AA has millions of people, and yet DA only has 4,000 or 5,000 members. And I realized that PI and like a lot of people in DA are not at all thinking about growing the program. And so I thought that was so interesting. I worked in marketing software and work at a social media company. And I said, geez, like, we just have to get the word out because everybody could benefit from DA. And so I realized that me doing service helps expand the program. And it's almost like you're being the face of DA because you're showing your recovery and what's possible and your leadership. And so I started to do the GSR work. And when it was over, after 3 years, I thought, I'm not done. I'm just kind of getting this. And I remember, showing up to these meetings, not doing much in the beginning, doing a little bit here and there, like I said, on weekends, and getting some benefit to starting last August to lead a caucus, the International Caucus, which I was chair of. And the first year that I was chair of my GSR, I got a job at this company where I took on the leadership role. This past year, I took on the leadership chair of the International Caucus, and I was invited to be a manager at work. And I hadn't even been thinking about being a manager. I was like, no, man, like, it just seems too hard. Like, I don't have the operational rigor. Too hard. I was invited to do it. So being upfront and helping expand and strengthen the program of DA internally, which hopefully expands to external, and being a leader helps other people recognize that I'm a leader professionally, and they asked me to like step into this, and I decided I would. And so I joined to become a leader right before the pandemic hit, and it was so hard. And no matter what, was happening, I'd still show up to my caucus calls, call my sponsor, do my numbers, kept me sane. And when I think about my life, the only thing that's helped me grow up is DA. Like, I've gotten, emotionally and, physically sober in other programs, but DA helps me grow up by doing my numbers. I feel like an adult. I tell this story all the time, but it's, my favorite DA story, where I first got a sponsor, and I had worked with her for 10 years. I loved her. Her name was Stacy in Sacramento, and she never took shit. And so I'd call her, and I'd say, oh, my God, my family sucks. Can you believe my mom did this and that? And she'd be like, have you done your numbers? I'm like, what do my numbers have to do with this? So I'd go do my numbers, and ultimately I'd feel a little better. But then I'd be like, oh, I hate this guy. I'm dating him and he sucks. And she'd be like, have you done your numbers? I'm like, what does this have to do with doing my numbers? You're crazy. And then I'd go do my numbers and I'd feel better. And oh, I need to work out. She's like, have you done your numbers? Like, what? So pretty soon, it was like the answer was go get centered by doing your numbers. Because you can't be of service to anybody unless you're doing your numbers and you're of service to yourself. So that's number one. It's like, hey, am I being of service to myself? Second, when I'm being of service, what is the spirit from which I'm operating? I'm not thinking, oh, my work week is going to be better, even though I have seen that it has. What I'm thinking is, what can I do to add value? What can I give? I'm not thinking, right? And in terms of what I hope the program receives, is that if we can be leaders and actually make change, the people that are on the surface or on the sidelines of the program might feel more invested. in which case the people in their lives get to see what they're doing. And this is a program of attraction, not promotion. But having said that, the attraction comes and it starts with us. It really, really starts with us and how we're showing up. Are we solvent? Are we doing our numbers? Are we earning? To me, earning has been so important to my self-esteem. It is frankly one of the things that has helped me separate from my family. Not that they ever gave me money. I've always done things on my own. Nobody ever gave me money for anything. Maybe when I was young and I got a $20 allowance. That's it. Sometimes my mom comes over, and she has very little income, and she'll give me a couple $100. She's so sweet, and I don't need it. Like, I'm actually a good earner, but it's like she's trying to make up for lost times, and I don't take it. I'm like, no, mom, it's okay. I don't need the money. You know, like, I'm good. But it's just interesting that she's trying to be of service to me in some way, you know. And the way that I also take care of myself is by telling on myself if I haven't done my numbers, if I haven't done my meditation, if I haven't shown up for work. Like, I need to be honest and clear. The only way I'm going to grow. I have a minute left. I can say that meetings are important. Service is more important to me right now. The tools are very important, and service is really critical. And so I'm planning on sharing the International Caucus, and it's going to be amazing because what I've also seen for the growth of DA is that we weren't connected internationally, and we're really, really trying to do good things internationally. So, you know, a unified program is a strong program and one in which other people are attracted to. So that's what I want. That's been my vision, and I hope to continue that. So thank you. Thank you, Maya, for having me. And with that, I'll finish.
Thanks so much, Amina. Each time I hear your story, I get something new out of it, and thanks for sharing it on this call with us. Much appreciated. Our last speaker for today is Lisa from Oregon. And she'll be speaking on experience, strength, and hope in elevating her service to the next level in DA. Lisa, how would you like to be timed?
Hi, Maya. I can time myself. Thank you.
Perfect. All right.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you all for being here. I mean, there is 20 people on this call, and every one of you is doing service by being here to bear witness. So thank you all for giving us your time today. And thank you very much for the previous speakers as well. I feel like I got some sisters and misters here, which was what I found when I first came to DA. And to give you a little how it was, how it went, and how it is now. When I first came to DA, I was exiting a 15-year career in a community that was very tight-knit and very up close and interpersonal. And when I left that community, I kind of felt lost and alone in the world. And I knew that I always made enough money to survive, but yet somehow I never had enough money to live. And I couldn't figure out how to change that. And so somewhere in some little books, I noticed a couple little letters called DA. And I said, what is this 12-stepness that I've never participated in? And so I talked to some friends who had worked 12-step programs in other arenas of life, and every single one of them unanimously said, Lisa, please go to a DA meeting. And so I did, and I went to my first meeting and cried, and then I went to my second meeting and cried some more. And then I went to my third meeting and cried a little bit more. But when I left that third meeting, I was crying out, these are my people. And so I found my people in VA because I found a place where people actually understood the things that were going on in my head for the first time in my life. And I grew up in a really nasty situation as well that left me with no self-worth and no trust in myself and no faith in myself and no confidence. And those were the three main areas of my life that I had been lacking in trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing with this life that I've been given. And so in my fourth meeting, which I started going to pretty much every DA meeting that I could get to in my town, which was three primary meetings at the time, and I found that the second meeting I had gone to has turned into my home group. And I kept hearing, do service, do service, do service. And so I said, well, if I'm going to succeed at this, I guess I better do some service. And so I've officially held every service position within my local fellowship in two of my different meetings. I started as a literature chair in one of our small meetings, which was a very minimal position that required not very much effort at all. And then in my home group, the first service position that I held for that group was key holder. And what that did for me was to make me show up because there was other people counting on me to open that door for them and get the meeting set up. And so that was my first lesson in DA, was that you just got to show up. You don't always have to say anything. You don't always have to do anything. You just have to be there. And that alone is service sometimes. And I've found many times when that voice inside me that says, oh, I don't want to go to a meeting. I don't need to go to a meeting. The voice of, well, what if somebody else needs you? Comes in and tells me to go to that meeting. And every single time somebody needs me, and it's amazing to feel needed in this world as well. So the keys to my recovery have been in service. And within that first 2.5 years, I actually made so many major changes in my life. I got the dream job for the company that I always wanted. I have now doubled my income, and every year it goes up a couple more thousand, and that's after taxes, which I'm actually paying now, which is amazing. and I have also learned that, like, DA is a great place to practice for the real world. Not that DA isn't the real world, but I mean in the outside world, in my professional career. Every bit of service I've ever done in DA has in some way translated into some kind of a paying position or some kind of a position in my career that is needed. And every single time I step up and I do something in my career, and my coworkers are like, wow, where'd you learn how to do this? Well, I can say I learned it in DA. Because DA is kind of my practice space for how I want to operate in the outside world. And, you know, the more I did service and the more I shared my experience in the outside world, the more I realized that the outside world is the inside world of DA. And more people out there need DA than they know need DA. And I just started sharing my experience, strength, and hope with anybody and everybody that would listen. And I've brought a few people through our doors and into meetings and into recovery by just sharing how it changed my life in ways that are just almost indescribable, because whenever I get to a point where I'm running around in circles and I don't know what to do with myself, the answer always is, well, sit down and do your numbers. And I remember when I first started sitting down and doing my numbers, it was this tedious, arduous task that I didn't want to have any part of. And it was such a hassle, and there was, you know, just all of those negative thoughts that were impressed upon me in my childhood. And so in sitting down and doing my numbers, I was able to work through all of those negative thoughts and find the confidence that I needed to be able to just show up for myself. And now I can't wait to sit down and do my numbers. In fact, I just got back from a trip where I'm 100% positive I completely underspent my budget. So I have my couple little receipts here, and I can't wait to sit down and put them in my spending plan and see how much money I have left over, because that's how I spend money these days, is I make a plan, I stick to the plan, and then I come back from the plan, and I've always got excess. And excess was something that I never had in my life before DA. And so now I get to save that money for the next trip I'm going to take tomorrow, actually. And that's what DA does for me, is it helps me find focus, it helps me stay centered, and it helps me be the person I was meant to be. Thank you, promises. Thank you, all the promises that have come true through this program. And so how it is now further, you know, last year, my home group, our GSR, who was planning on going to L.A., his wife got pregnant, and their due date was going to be the week that we were supposed to be in L.A., and so he couldn't make the trip. And having held the key holder and the secretary and the treasurer's position for a group, and, you know, somebody stepped up and said, hey, Lisa, can you be GSR? And I was like, well, that means I have to go to L.A. And if there's anybody in this room that's meant to go to L.A., it's me. So I guess I'm going to L.A., guys. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect, so I went into it with as little expectation as I possibly could. And every minute of every day that I was in L.A. with everyone last year blew my mind, that it was beyond any expectations I could have even hoped to have. And I learned so much about myself, and I learned so much about this program, and I learned so much about, like, I had no idea how international we were. I had no idea how many people, even in here in the United States, there were in this program. And it nourished me in a way I was not expecting, which is, you know, the best way to come out of any experience. And since I've been home, being able to participate in the fellowship-wide calls for the caucus and the committee that I signed up for, and I've now sit on four different pressure relief groups with my local community, and I have even one person whose group I sit on who's not even in my state, thanks to how digital we are these days, because of our good friend COVID. And I look forward to every little bit of service that I get to do. And my next mission, just as a fellowship member, is to actually approach the employee assistance program at the company that I work for, because, you know, all of our employees, I work in healthcare, so our employees are struggling hard right now, and I think that, well, I know that DA can help them in every way possible. So doing public information for me, I can't say I've done any major public information, but just sharing your story with the person that's standing next to you is sharing your public information. And I've watched numerous people come into this program, and the joy and pleasure I derive from watching somebody turn their life around. Excuse me. I'm thinking of one of my sponsees right now, and it is so nourishing to watch somebody come into this program as lost, scared, and confused as I was, and see them become the person that they were meant to be, and watch them reach out and do service work, and watch other people grow and change in this program. It sure is a miracle. It really is. And I'm so proud, honored to be a part of this movement that we have going on, because, man, the world needs us so much right now. There are so many people out there that are struggling in ways that they never knew they were going to have to struggle. And so if ever there was a time to spread some public information about DA, now is definitely the time. And so, you know, one of the things that I've also had the honor of doing on my local fellowship, and this has now reached a statewide status here in Oregon, is when COVID first hit and we couldn't go to any of our meeting spaces anymore, I started a conference call line, which has now turned into the conference call line that is used by numerous meetings all over Oregon. We just started our own Google Drive about it. We have newsletters that are going out about it. And I am kind of a pivot point for all of that, or have been kind of a pivot point for that for the past 4 months. And you know, a lot of it, unfortunately, was under my own personal email address because I didn't know what I was doing at that time. But now we have a group email address and a group G Drive, and I'm going to change our conference call to all of that information so that we can share it and we can pass it on down the line. And the more we share it, I think the more I share it, the more my program is nourished. And so I just can't stop talking about DA. I'm in between two camping trips right now, and everybody's like, well, why do you have to go home? Why don't you just go from one to the next? I was like, man, because I got some DA service I got to do. And that takes precedence in everything in my life, because DA has made my life everything that it is today. And this is my last 25 seconds of time, so I will just gratefully pass on and thank you all so much for participating in the call today. And I just love you guys. So thanks.
Lisa, thank you so much. I know I've directly benefited from your service, so thanks for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with all of us. And thank you to all of our speakers today. I'm feeling amped now. I don't know about you all, but I definitely am feeling it. So that was great. We'll now end the recording for our personal share and question and answer period. So anyone speaking during this time coming up here, it will not be recorded.
One moment, please.